Hey, thanks for showing up. Nice of you. For people that don't know me, I am a kind-hearted, wonderful person who has saved people's lives by dragging people out of burning buildings and drowning children, saving their lives. I am a national hero. I am as sensitive a person as you will ever meet. For those of you that do know me, you know that that's just a bunch of bull.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you. I get down on my knees to thank you. You're a wonderful person. Hey, you know. How are you? How you doing? Oh, did you have a nice weekend? Was it pleasant for you? Did you barbecue stuff? Did you throw someone on the grill? I mean, something on the grill? You know what I love? Our health-conscious people, where it's a beautiful weekend, people are barbecuing all these large chunks of meat and stuff, and other people are sitting outside having a salad. You don't sit outside and have a salad. What is it with salads? Who came up with the salad thing? Was it a rabbit? I know some people, all they do is they eat salads. And sometimes they'll get really fancy about it and put a piece of meat in it. I had salad with chicken yesterday. Oh my God, you're so bold and creative. What made you decide to do something like that? Well, I was tired of having salad all the time. You know, just the leafy greens. So I decided to step it up a bit. I put chicken in it. You didn't, did you? Did you really? Were they actual pieces of chicken? Yes! Chicken! Wow, I've never heard of that before. Mixing protein and rabbit food? That's really incredible. I know. It was so good, too. When you take the chicken pieces and you put them inside the lettuce area, the blend is incredible. My goodness, do you think we should tell people about it? No, no, that's my secret. That's my secret. I'm thinking of writing a cookbook. And my biggest creation will be salad, but you put chicken pieces on it. Oh. Wow, that's crazy. Have you tried croutons? Oh no, that's too bold for me. Putting little pieces of cubed bread, dried out bread on the lettuce leaves? That's too bold for me. I even put chicken on it. Wow. I don't know. Whatever. I mean, I admire people that eat salads all the time. admire them from the standpoint of their obsession with eating salads. I admire that to the point where they think that when they do that, they're going to be absolutely incredibly healthy. You have to put some protein on this. You got to eat protein every once in a while, kids. I had a friend, it wasn't a friend, I'm sorry, I take that back, I used the term too loosely. I worked with somebody at the at a radio station, and he was my producer. In radio, producers, it has nothing to do with them giving you money or spending money on the program. A producer, in television, that's what a producer would do. On the radio, it's the guy that's in the booth hitting the buttons and watching the levels and running the commercials. That's all a producer does, a totally different explanation for that. So he's in the other room, and he was a... I don't think I know the difference between vegetarian, vegan, or somebody from Mars, a Martian. I think they're all synonymous. But he didn't eat meat. He ate nothing that touched meat or came from anything. He didn't eat eggs, no dairy, because that comes from a meat product person. Although I don't think you have to kill a cow to get the milk, that's just me. But this guy would not eat any of that stuff. And he stunk. He had an odor coming out of him. Maybe it was the smell of death. I don't know what it was. Maybe a little garlic thrown in, because I think garlic is, that's a plant. You can do it. You can do that. He stunk. I think it was the decaying organs inside of his body that I was smelling. He was so skinny, and there's nothing wrong with skinny people. This guy was skinny because of his diet. When he turned to the side, I questioned whether he was even in the room with me. I said, could you just kind of move a little bit to the left. Oh, okay, now I see you. I asked him to wear bright clothing because otherwise he would just blend into the wall. He was very, very. But what struck me most about him was his color. He was yellow. And it wasn't a bright sunflower kind of yellow. That would have been interesting. It was more of the pale yellow. The kind of thing where a funeral director would say, quickly, let's get him down to the basement and embalm him before he decomposes even more. This guy looked horrible. He just looked horrible. He looked like Donald Trump. As Donald Trump is orange, this guy looked yellow. And he wasn't Oriental or any of, and I'm sorry, I don't even know the proper terminology for that, but he was a Caucasian. He was a Caucasian kid. I don't know if he's still around today. You can always tell if somebody living in a house is a vegan who only eats plants because you will see that all the plants are missing from his yard. Or her yard. I'm sorry, there are females that do this too. Again, I don't know if he's still around or what he's doing or if he's been memorialized in plastic somewhere in a museum. I really don't know. But he was, to me, a shining example of somebody that does not eat a balanced meal. I love animals too. But I don't see anything wrong with milking them. I just don't. If I could get money for my urine, I'd do it. If urine all of a sudden became a high commodity drinkable product, I would sell mine. I'm not using it. What am I going to do with it? I think milk is the same thing. I don't see the point. Maybe I'm missing something somewhere, but I don't understand that part of it. I do honor animals completely. I loathe people that can just look at an animal and kill them, especially for fun, for gaming purposes. That, to me, is like, oh my God, you need to find another planet. Get off of this one that I'm on, please. I just don't understand that stuff. I just don't get that. I don't get it. Anyway, that's not why I'm here. I am here to sell you donuts. $10 a dozen. Who wants them? All right, fine. That isn't going to work. Well, thank you for listening. This has been a lot of fun. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm only kidding. I just started.
You're listening to The Big Show with Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
You have to pay to listen to this show unless you agree to the following disclaimer.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
Yep, we know
some
that.
Listeners may experience nausea or vomiting while listening to this show. Please consult with your doctor or psychologist before listening to this program. The Ron Van Dam Show is not intended for listeners who have had a history of high blood pressure or acid reflux. Women who are pregnant should stay at least 20 feet away from the radio speaker and should avoid listening to the show for more than 2 hours at any one time. The Ron Van Dam t-shirts should never be worn in conjunction with the Ron Van Dam pants, unless it is after Memorial Day or before Labor Day, but even then. Please refrain from loud conversation, as this may be disruptive to others nearby who are trying to listen to this program. Your enjoyment of the program may vary. It may vary greatly. Please enjoy the show.
Well, that enjoy the show if you can, she really should have said. Did you have a hot dog over the weekend?
There's nothing more American than a hot dog. And this summer, we will eat over 23 million hot dogs in Major League ballparks alone.
I'm not going to eat 23 million hot dogs. I'd be dead. What are you kidding me, lady? And I don't go to Major League ballparks. You mean I have to go to Major League ballparks to the point where I'm going to eat 23 million hot dogs? What are you, crazy? I'm not that hungry. I don't like hot dogs that much. I'd be sick. Even that hot dog contest that they have there in New York City at Coney Island, I don't think the guy that wins that thing eats 23 million hot dogs. That's a lot, lady. She's crazy. She's nuts. Where does she come off? Talking to me like that. But we do love hot dogs, don't we?
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kind of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Step right up. From
fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks. Tough kids, sissy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs. Armor hot dogs. The dogs kids eat day or night.
Sad kids, funny kids, kids who fly a kite. Big kids, little kids, kids who like to fight. Love hot dogs.
Armor hot dogs.
The dogs kids love to fight.
When man bites dog, that's news, they say. But when kids bite dogs, they yell.
Hooray for hot dogs.
Yay. The summertime is a time when families get together. Well, so is the fall. But I'm doing this as a transition, so just be quiet. We spoke to comedian Anna Gerwich recently, actually, and we're going to talk to her soon. She wrote a book about her family, about her relatives. One of the most accurate phrases I've ever heard in my life is you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. I think that's how it goes. Oh no, you can pick your nose, but you can't pick somebody else's nose. That's true. I wouldn't want to. I would want to pick my own nose to clear it out from all the clog, but I would never pick somebody else's nose. That would be disgusting. I am not close to anybody enough to just start picking somebody else's nose. That has never happened, will never happen. I can guarantee you that. I may point it out. I may say, you got a little something with the thing and the fling with the flying, with the opening of the nose nostril area. We got a thing with a dangling. Could you just, I'm pointing at it, could you just play and stick your own and take it away? But I would never touch it myself. That's why I could never be a dentist. I'm not going to go into anybody's mouth. Not even with a crew of cave explorers. I'm not going into your mouth. I'm not even going to ask somebody else to do it. I could never be a dentist. My God. I know they put on the latex gloves. That's not thick enough for me. I would need the large 3-inch thick thermals, you know, made of cowhide or something, which is not good for cows. But that's what dentists have to do. And oral hygienists, oh my God, you should get medals of honor. The fact that every day you go into strange people's mouths, wow. And they don't even tip. Those people should tip, man. Patients that have these oral hygienists go into their mouths and scrape them and clean them out and stick their fingers in your mouth, they should be tipped. I'd say $10, a good $10. You know, don't write him a check or anything. You know, slip him a 10. You know, hey, thanks for coming in my mouth. What? You know what I'm saying. Thanks. Thanks for fixing me up in there. No one else would have done that. But you. You're the only one. And it's funny because they wear a mask. Those oral hygienists, they usually wear a mask so that they can't breathe in your gingivitis. I guess it would kill them on contact. So they wear a mask. That's not enough for me, man. I would need one of those oxygen mask things, you know, with the hose and everything. I'm not coming near your mouth. I'm not going to pick your nose. I'm not going to go in your mouth. And forget me being your gynecologist. That just really, really ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. It is interesting how you do pick your friends and you don't pick your family. You're stuck with them. And you know that. You know that. You know that there are members of your family that you have had some vehement arguments with. And you talk them to them to be civil because they're members of your family. They're your relatives. They're relatively your family members. So you're nice to them because you kind of have to be. I don't like have to be's anymore. I've reached an age, a plateau in my life, where the have-to-be's are going away. It's a very freeing feeling. If I had a choice between being able to fly, just to flap my arms and take off, that freedom, or the freedom of not having to do things anymore that I didn't want to do before, I would choose the things that I don't have to do anymore. That's the freeing experience for me. And if you have relatives, you're not free. You have to accept them. Well, of course I love Uncle Sid. He's my uncle. What? You don't have to love Uncle Sid. He's not your what? If Uncle Sid does something stupid to you, you don't have to like him. You don't have to love him. Just because they're a relative? Come on. Or, yeah, my father beat me. I mean, this isn't true. I'm just saying as an example. If someone says, my father beat me as a child, beat me until I bled, abused me like crazy, I hate his guts. Really? Well, I hate his guts, but he's my father. I mean, I love him. What? How can you love him when he abused you? Well, he's my father. Stop saying that. Stop saying that doesn't mean anything. Yeah, but he's my father. No, stop that. Your friends are something else. And I'm not talking about Facebook friends. I'm talking about real relationship friends that you see face to face. What are those, Ron? They're called friends. That's the real definition. I'm not familiar. I know that I have 382 friends. What? On Facebook? You don't have 382 friends. Those aren't friends. What's wrong with you? Get a dictionary. Look up the term. What is a friend? Somebody that you don't hate necessarily? That you can somewhat tolerate? What is the definition of a friend to you? You have the ability to pick your friend. You have the ability to like who you like. I'm not talking about your boss at work or a coworker where you have to see them every day. They're not your friends. They're just people that you can get along with. Let's start, kids. Let's start really calling a spade a douche. Let's get this straight. So Anna Gerwitz, she's a comedian, a writer, and we talked to her about this last week, and we're going to talk to her now about it, this relative thing. Hey, Annabelle.
Hey, Ron. How are you?
I'm good. We have Annabelle Gerwitz. She's an author, comedic actress. She's seen her on television. She's done a lot of stuff. Annabelle's got a new book called Wherever You Go, There They Are. It's about family and relatives and how these people are close to you, yet they're the craziest people you've ever met in your life. What prompted you to do this one?
You know, I started writing this book from the premise that no matter how hard you try to escape your crazy family, you just end up in another crazy family. I think that we all suspect at a certain point growing up, there's been a mistake. I was born into the wrong family. I can't possibly be related to these nut jobs. And of course, everyone else in our family is thinking the same thing about us.
Yes.
So I wanted to write these stories not only about my childhood growing up, but also about what it means to be family. Who are our family? Because so many of us, we grow up, we try to, you know, we make our own families, we make these friends, and we live sometimes far away from our family, and then we realize, well, they're crazy too. So how do you ever get away from the crazy? And of course, my conclusion is you don't. You just make new kinds of crazy.
Yeah, that's a good point that we're actually crazy too, but coming from us, we don't think we're crazy, but we're probably one of the ones that fit into that category.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's scary stuff. Scary stuff. It's interesting because, and you mentioned in the book, through holidays, that's when they all gather together. And it's, you know, these people, if you met them in the street, you probably wouldn't choose them as even friends.
Well, you know, I think that that might be true, but you know, you learn, I think that one of the reasons why we think about, you know, our family histories, or why I like reading stories about people's families and where they came from, because it helps, you know, explain a lot of things. And it also makes you realize you're not alone, that everybody has these stories. You know, and like with my family, you know, my dad was a entrepreneur type. He was kind of like the poor man's Donald Trump. You know, all these different businesses that he started up all over the country. We were always moving around. And I didn't really understand where that came from. But then when I was researching my family history, I found out, oh, okay, so we were immigrants who came and we landed in Alabama where I was born. And they were bootleggers. They were moonshiners. They had casinos. My great-grandmother owned a brothel. And I realized, okay, well, that's where that comes from. So I really started to understand, you know, why my dad was the way he was. And also, it gave me an appreciation, though, I have to say, of how hard people worked so that I could have the life that I have.
Interesting.
You know? And I think that that's... that should be required reading for all of us, to remember that. It's really important to remember where you came from.
I suppose. You know, I'm told that, like, when you die, you go to heaven and you reconnect with your family. And I'm thinking, Is that supposed to make me want to go to heaven?
It's just no. I'm certain that my mother and father do. If there is a heaven, there and there. That my dad's idea of a heaven involves poker playing and ladies of the evening, and my mom's idea of heaven is anywhere but where my dad is, and maybe not even me. Who knows? But you know, I really wonder about. But I do think, you know, one of the reasons why I wrote this book was also about family secrets. And I think that it's a good idea to know that other people have family secrets. And with my family, it was this whether we had money or didn't have money. And my dad ended up being investigated with the Ab Scam scandal. If you saw American Hustle and the FBI.
Yeah.
And he was involved with mobsters and Meyer Lansky. And there was one time when a bag man dropped off money to launder at my dad's restaurant. And so there was a lot of nutty stuff, which is, of course, not a surprise that I ended up
showing. So now I'm more interested in your family now, because that sounds like some meaty stuff going on there. And that's what the book is about. They're tales of your family, basically, and how that rubbed off on you and what you experienced. Very quickly, on the cover of the book, your family seems to be standing in a rowboat in the middle of a lake or the ocean or something. Does that have some significance?
That's a picture that was taken in the 1970s, and the 1970s were a great time for embarrassing family photographs.
So that's an actual photo? That's an actual photo from the
70s? That's an actual photo, but we weren't actually in that little boat. I think it's like a metaphor for being lost at sea in a sinking ship with your family. But I think nothing says that your family is crazy more than the fact that someone in your family doesn't want to be pictured with you. So there's one person in that picture who's not actually really that real face. They didn't want to be pictured with us. We had to Photoshop her face in, which just tells you how crazy we actually are.
The picture itself is crazy enough, actually. The book is called Wherever You Go, There They Are. And Annabelle Gurwitch, fantastic, a lot of fun. And thank you so much for coming by here. How can we follow you and see what you're doing in your career?
You can go to my website, AnnabelleGurwitch.com, and it also does explain a little bit about why we're in the middle of the ocean. Because my dad was in bankruptcy and being investigated by the FBI, the IRS, and any other law enforcement, I ended up inheriting a lot on a little barrier island in the Gulf of Mexico. So there are stories about this island, which used to be known as Massacre Island, in the book, which are pretty hilarious.
All right, well, we're on our way to the book. Thanks for your time today. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Annabelle. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But I hung up my boxing gloves to open the area's new favorite restaurant.
Here we go. It's called...
It's Headshots. Jesus, give me a minute, would you?
Sorry.
Hey, do you love calamari? Then you need to come to Headshots this month for our Carnival of Calamari. That's right, we got tons of great recipes all made with delicious chicken.
Calamari.
You gotta try our famous 1-2 punch pasta loaded with shrimp.
Also says calamari.
How about a nice beef lo mein piccata? And our spicy school bus fried yavlo? Forget about it. You've never had calamari until you've had the Eiffel Tower at Headshots during our carnival of I Could Have Knocked Joe Frazier on His Ass back in the day.
Oh my God.
Come in and ask for me. Bobby Calamari, Bobby Headshots, I'm the guy that owns the place.
Wow, huh? Wow. Does sound tasty, though. Do you have any pets? Do you? Really? Seriously, or are you just saying that? This is a time of year you have to be a little bit careful with your pets, especially your dogs. There's a brand new disease. It's been around for a while, but now we've been talking about it recently. And it's called leptospirosis. It sounds like leprosy, but it's not. But it's got that same kind of flavor of, uh-oh, what is that? And if my dog gets it, can it be passed on to me, the leptospirosis? It sounds horrible. You don't want to tell anybody that you know anybody or have an animal that has this, because it sounds horrible. It's got leptospirosis. Get out of here. I don't know what it is, but it sounds awful. It is awful. It can break down your organs and your kidneys, and it's not good. And dogs get it, usually from other dogs, but it's a bacteria that they lap up, usually from standing water, like little fountains that aren't running or bird baths, water that's been standing around for a long time outside. Insects have fallen into it. Very common, dogs that lap up water from standing ponds, P-O-N-D-S. You can get it there too, and other methods as well, but those are the typical ways, as I understand it. We'll speak to an expert about it in just a second, so just shut up. But it's horrible. You know, we treat our dogs like they are our babies. When our dogs are diagnosed with something, it's horrible. It's also financially horrible. No matter what kind of health care this country ends up with, it's still some type of universal health care. There isn't much pet insurance, pet health insurance. There are some, but they're only like as good as what you pay for. Most people, contrary to human health insurance, most people when their animals get sick, it's open your wallet and give me the cash kind of thing. And that can be devastating into the tens of thousands of dollars quite easily. It's not good. But it's not the money. Well, for some it is. But it's the fact that we're so attached to our animals, we'll do anything for them. I don't know if I'd take a bullet for my animal. I don't know. I'm not sure. Never thought that one out. Don't even know why I brought it up. Anyway, getting back to leptospirosis, you don't want to ever have to say that word because it's not a good one. So we sought out our veterinarian here who usually appears on this show. He's a nationally known veterinarian, Dr. Richard Goldstein. And we asked him, what's up? What's up with this thing?
Hello.
Hello, doctor. How are you?
Very good. Very good. How are you?
I'm great. Dr. Richard Goldstein joins us now. He's there's a lot of letters involved here. He's a DVM, a DACVIM, a DECVIM, a chief medical officer, Animal Medical Center in New York City. Wow, you're busy. How do you have time to eat breakfast?
Most of those letters aren't that big of you.
Okay, all right. We're talking about a disease that dogs contract. And I know about this because I have a couple of dogs, and when I board them, one of the places requires this particular injection now. We're talking about leptospirosis, and I did have a friend that had this situation a couple of years ago, and the dog had since passed accordingly. So it's pretty serious. What is this disease?
It is serious. This is an infectious disease. It's a bacterial disease of dogs. It's actually not just dogs, though. People get it as well, as well as other mammals. It's a really important infectious disease around the world in people. In the U.S., we do see it more in dogs. It's a disease they get from coming into contact with contaminated water, water that often urine from wildlife. So in your area, it would be raccoons or rats or really almost any mammal can spread this bacteria into urine, into water. And then if dogs drink that water or splash that water into their eyes, they get this disease, and it can be very, very serious. So I'm sorry to hear about your friend's dog.
Yeah, and actually they had a summer place on a pond, and we would always say, ooh, that's like standing water. It looks disgusting. And the dog would drink from the pond. Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that. Well, that there you go. So
yeah, it's really hard to get rid of it in that kind of environment. So protecting the dog is really where we're going to go with that.
Yeah, and it causes fatal kidney disease, which is actually what this dog actually passed from. They had to have a dialysis and everything.
It does eventually. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty serious. Okay, you said something interesting there that humans can also get this. Can you get it from a dog that has contracted it?
You can. So dogs will spread it in their urine as well. It's more common when people get it that they also get it from that same pond. So, you know,
okay.
Just imagine if it didn't look that gross that your friend was swimming in there too, there's a good chance they would have gotten it as well. But they can also get it from the dog, which is another reason why we need to be really diligent about making sure the dogs are all protected.
Why are we discussing this all of a sudden now and not like a decade or ago?
Well, I'm glad we're discussing it now.
Yes.
There's a lot of new developments now. We know a lot more about the disease. We know how common it is. We actually have a new test for it, which is one of the reasons we're talking about it. It's a hard disease to diagnose. At the end stages, when they do have kidney disease and often liver disease at the same time, it becomes pretty apparent. But the point is actually to diagnose it way earlier, just within a few days after infection. And at that time, the clinical signs are much less obvious. They're more general signs like just not eating and maybe vomiting and not feeling well. And we haven't historically had a really good test. And now we have a brand new test. It's a company called Zoetis that put out this test that can detect the disease after a few days after an infection in the clinic with a simple blood test. So now veterinarians have a tool to diagnose it at a point where it is completely treatable. So it's a huge difference and really will be a game changer. The other thing that's changed over the past few years, the vaccines have gotten a lot better. People used to be afraid of using these vaccines, and now they're extremely safe and extremely effective. So in my mind, this is now a disease that we have all the tools to combat, you know, which we've never had before, both protection and prevention of the disease as well as detection with this new test.
All right, let's talk about two things. First of all, a lot of pet owners are concerned about over-inoculating their dogs because there are a multitude of concerns preventively that are necessary. And as I said, when I board my dogs, I have to have this as a preventive injection now, not that they even have that disease. Is it indeed very safe? Some people don't give their children flu shots also because they don't think it's...
I know. And, you know, I have an opinion on that as well, but I'm here to talk about dogs.
I'm sorry.
But it is safe. Yeah, it is safe. And the concern is, that, you know, the concern that your animal boarding facility has, you know, what if some dog comes and spreads it around, the other dogs are not protected, and a dog dies from it? It's a serious concern.
Well, yeah.
So we consider this disease, this vaccine, to be poor in New England. So this, you know, when you look at the risk and benefit, and that's what you need to do for every vaccine, including, you know, kids.
Yeah.
What is the risk versus the benefit? And it's very clear this is such a severe disease. And you know, dogs do die from it every day in this country. And so when you look at the risk, which is very, very minimal,
I get
very safe vaccine versus the benefit, there's no question.
It does come down to a risk or a benefit situation, and and that is for a human thing too, actually.
Absolutely.
Are most veterinarians, and I ask this of human doctors too, not that you're not human, but...
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, okay.
I get that all the time.
Okay,
all right,
fine. do most doctors know about this new vaccine and to test for it, or is it not that commonly known yet?
Well, the vaccines, yes. The vaccines have been out for quite a while, and I think most veterinarians in the highly endemic areas like New England are very aware of vaccination. The test is brand new. It just came out a month ago.
All right.
So we're still raising awareness for this new test, and I think as that catches on, and it's in the clinic, so you know they don't have to send it out. They get the results immediately, and they can then provide treatment.
Okay.
So I think once that catches on, it'll make a huge difference.
Yeah, because our pets go to the doctor more frequently than we do. I think that's a fact. I mean, I just think it is. So things can be detected easier. But if my dog was not eating and feeling lethargic, the question is, would my veterinarian suggest that this was a possibility?
I think so. And, you know, there's other things that can cause that as well. So they probably start testing kind of in a more broad fashion.
Okay.
But eventually, if the signs point to this, they can then shift test for it.
And patients got to beware too. Patients got to bring it up with their veterinarians as well. Yes.
Exactly, which is one of the reasons why we're talking about this today. To ask your veterinarian.
Right.
The first question is everybody should ask the veterinarian is my dog protected?
Right.
Because not every dog in this country is, and every dog should be.
Right.
So is my dog protected? Do I need to come in for the vaccine?
Okay.
And then when the signs are appropriate, you know, is this the test that we should be running?
Yeah. Where do I go for more information?
Well, the Animal Medical Center where I work is a very large specialty practice in Manhattan, and we have a really nice website with a lot of health education.
Right.
It's www.amcny.org, in this case, /lepto, or /animal health for animal health page. And then the company that makes these vaccines and makes this test is called Zoetis, and their website is zoetisus.com/lepto, and there's a ton of information there as well.
Okay.
So there's a lot of good information out there. I would recommend talk to your veterinarian. Let's get on top of this disease.
Great. Let me spell Zoetis for my listeners. Zoetisus. Great. Thank you so much for the information, Doctor. Pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. I actually spoke to a doctor and didn't have to pay any money. Pretty cool, huh? So did you. I'm out of here. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Take care of your pets. Make sure that they get checkups as often as you're supposed to get checkups, which is at least once a year. And until tomorrow, I wish you peace.